Good day, happy Sabbath to everyone, wherever you are. Thank you, Elohim, for giving us this day, which is the day from that is celebrated in the heavens, even before we were created, dear Father, and you have shared with us to be a part of you while we are on this earth, dear Father. And dear Father, we look forward to the day that we will be united together, not just as the family of earth, but not just your family on the earth, but also collectively with your family in the heavens, dear Father, as Paul looked into it in his statement, dear Father. Thank you. Guide us as we go through the book of Acts, Father. It's been over a year. I'm thinking about 2 years since we've been going through the book of Acts, and now we're in the last chapter. Open our understanding, dear Father, so that we may know your will and understand it and be strengthened in you. In your name, the name of your Son, the name of your Spirit, amen. Yes, happy Sabbath, brethren. Today is, we're actually in Acts chapter 28. It's amazing that we've reached here. We've completed Acts 27 last Sabbath, and we saw how Elohim gave Paul favor. We saw how he observed the appointed time, specifically the Day of Atonement, even in dire circumstances. And we saw that as an example of ourselves, for ourselves, that we should be diligent in keeping the appointed times, the Sabbath and the holy days, and be very careful. For if Paul would do this in such a dangerous time, how much should we do it in our comforts? How much more? We saw how Paul had the gift of prophecy, and that prophecy was not something that came up in his own mind, but actually was, as all the other prophets before and those in his time, it's information that Elohim gives the prophet. The prophet does not study to know the information, but rather it's information that Elohim gives them. As we saw, they were worried, thinking they were absolutely doomed, no chance of survival in that storm. But after Elohim sent his angel to speak with him, that all would be well, all would be saved, except they would lose the ship, but every single person would be alive, and that they would need to be at a certain island. And we saw that Paul says, I believe him. I believe Elohim. So that we saw that, and we saw how our salvation in not just our eternal salvation, but even our salvation from day to day. What I mean by that, if we're in difficult situations, difficult times, how doing things exactly the way Elohim requires is what we need to do to be delivered from situations, as we saw in verses 31 of Acts chapter 27, where Paul says, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Not saved for eternal salvation, but in a way be spared from disaster in that ship, in that storm. So in life, in our daily lives, that's how we need to be. We need to be circumspect in our lives, and then we will see the great salvation of Elohim. You will see how quickly and how continuously he answers prayers. And then you will say, let the name of the Eternal be magnified and praised always. And lastly, we saw how in times, in difficult situations where everyone is panicked, where no one knows what to do, if we are in that situation, we must be the example of faith in Elohim. We must be the source of encouragement. We must be the light, not the one running around not knowing what to do. You know, we don't want to be in any such situation. But if we find ourselves in difficult situations, we must be sober-minded, be connected with Elohim, and be a source of peace and light and direction for those around us, as we saw how Paul was. Paul encouraged the people on the ship and set an example for them. And by his example, they were calm and were encouraged also, as we saw in verses 33 and 36 of that chapter, chapter 27. But today we will continue with chapter 28 and go as far as we can go. Okay, so let's begin by just reading it through, and then we'll go back as my custom is. Let me start reading here. It says, "Now, when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta, or Melita, right? Or Melita, but commonly today it's called Malta. And I have a brother that I've been trying to reach, that's actually in Malta. I hope I could reach him one day, a fellow believer. But let's continue. Verse 2. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live.'" Verse 5, "But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a power, a deity. And in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary." Verse 11, "After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers which had wintered at the island." "And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. And there we circled around and reached Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli. Verse 14, "where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days, and so went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and 3 inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked Elohim and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him." Verse 17, "And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, 'Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything to which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain.' And they said to him, We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of Elohim, persuading them concerning Yeshua from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelief. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, Go to this people and say, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. That the salvation of Elohim has been sent. So that I should heal them. Sorry, verse 28. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of Elohim has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when we had said these things, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of Elohim and teaching the things which concern the supreme Yeshua Messiah with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Amen. Let's go back and review. Okay. So, verse 1 tells, we see the words, then they knew. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. Right? Then they knew. Then found out. As it says here, then they knew. Remember chapter 27, verse 26? Paul prophesied, quote, we must run aground on a certain island. See, Paul was given specific prophecy that their lives would be spared. Each one of them, all 276 of them, that includes Paul, but that they would run aground on a certain island. But Elohim did not tell him the name of the island. Could Elohim? Of course Elohim, but he didn't. These are lessons for us to gain. So Elohim did not tell Paul what island at the time. And Paul did not waste any effort or time trying to guess what island or to give an opinion. When they were safe on the island, as we just read in chapter 28, then they knew the island was called Melita or Malta, as we see in verse 1. The point here, lesson here, is that when we don't know something, and this is very important for us as individual disciples and as the congregation of Elohim, is that we need to be pure in our teaching. Pure about everything. We need to be circumspect in everything. When we're teaching, there's no room for guessing. You understand what I'm saying? When we're doing something that affects others, there's no room for guessing. There's no room for opinions. Opinions and guessing are useless in the matters of Elohim. Useless! I'm going to say again, opinions about the things of Elohim are utterly useless in the service to others. It is only what is actually known that is profitable. I cannot stress that enough. And it is this trick that we have this desire, as it is to say, to fill in the blanks, to fill in the pure bread with leaven. We gotta have something to fill in the blanks. No, we don't. We must not do that. We must not give in to that temptation that when we don't know what about something about a scripture, then we try to guesswork and put our 2 cents in it, put our leaven in it. No. We must not do that. As his congregation, we need to make sure we proclaim only what we actually know and be honest and silent about what we do not know. We must wait obediently and prayerfully about what we don't know. Elohim will reveal to us what we need to know in his time, if we are even ready to know it. There's much he would reveal to us, but we're not ready. And we have to understand that. The secret things, as is written in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to the eternal Al Elohim, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may observe all the words of this law, all the words of his instruction. So we must never try to fill in the blanks or raise a question where a question is not raised. Listen to this, please. Do not raise a question where a question is not raised, where a question is not necessary. It is the antithesis of giving. It's the partner of giving a made up answer. When you create a question without a cause, it's partner to giving an uncertain answer. See, Satan, that's how he deceived those in the garden. He raised a question without a cause. Did Elohim say such and such? Listen carefully to the teachers out there or groups out there and see how they raise questions about nothing. Questions about, is the Bible right about this? You know, was Yeshua this or that? Or was the Holy, or was the Logos this or that? And they throw questions and in the end, no answer whatsoever, nothing. Instead, what you see is that they've created doubts where there were no doubts in the minds of people. And that's why we must not give an answer that we don't know, that we're not certain of. Neither should we raise a question about nothing. Think about that to make sense of it. Secondly, we see in verse 2, a certain island, the same island, this certain island, a certain island where the natives showed them unusual kindness in verses 2. This is Elohim's favor to Paul and those 275 persons he gave him. Remember, he said, I've given them all to you. Not one of them will lost. He gave them this favor. They came to this uncertain island. They had no clue where they were going, where they were. And these natives showed them unusual favor. At the New King James, the natives showed us unusual kindness. They kindled fire for them to keep them warm. They saw their need, on account of the cold. They were in the water and so on. On account of the cold, they saw their need. And so they tended to their needs. These natives, we saw their characteristics about as when Paul was kindling, getting the sticks for the fire, a viper, a poisonous serpent, bit him. They felt, wow, look at that. This man, he escaped the water, but he is now going to die through this snake. So he must be some sort of murderer, right? They were assessing. You understand? It shows you they were not that. They didn't have a clue who these people were that they were helping. But they were helping strangers who they did not know. They were displaying an attribute of love. Because love, as we know in kindness, as we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is an attribute of love. And in one of those, so the Eternal taught these natives how to love. See, they may not know about Sabbath and holy days and things of that nature, but they knew how to love the principal things, right? I've met lots of Sabbatarians who did not know to love, and of course others, but it's very important that we get the important things in place. And love is not just a feely-touchy thing. These people never saw Paul or these other 200-something people. Never saw them, but yet they could love them. Because the love of Elohim is not about sight, but it's actually our actions and disposition to do what's right for a person, whether we know them or not, no matter what they look like. Right? That's love. So he taught these natives love. We see this among the disciples in Thessalonica. Paul made this comment, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught of Elohim to love one another." That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. You see how Elohim taught these Gentiles, the people among the nations, how to love. And this is why I say to you, we have to be careful in how we assess Gentiles, thinking that if a teaching or an idea is not from Israel, is not from the Hebrews, somehow it's a pagan, no, that's incorrect thinking and goes against the very Torah. Because the Tanakh throughout the scripture shows that Elohim gave wisdom to the Gentiles also. He did not give them his law as he gave to Israel, neither accepted them as priests as he did for Israel, but yet he accepted them according to their walk in righteousness and kindness and justice. He accepted that because before the old covenant, that's what he expected of all mankind. Remember, he made a covenant with Noah. And that covenant is for all mankind. And Gentiles who abide by that are relatively accepted in his sight. They will not be involved in his service necessarily. They will not be involved they will not be first fruits. But if they do what's right according to the knowledge, they will have their part in the second resurrection and be judged according to their works. And if their names are found in the book of life, they will enter the heavenly city. They will partake of the tree of life and of the river that runs from the city and be healed by it. Okay? So we have to understand that Elohim taught them how to love. And there's much Elohim would want us to learn, want his people to learn from the Gentiles. Not from just Israel only. That's Eretz, not what the Torah teaches. It's not what's found there. He shall make of both one new man. Okay? Both were concluded of sin, and both had attributes that were relatively good, and both had sin. But both had things that were given to them by Elohim. Okay, knowledge, right understanding of things was given really to the Gentiles. People don't understand. That's what the scriptures show throughout. Right on. That's what Paul meant by their say by their, because they had right understanding, and that's why their philosophy levels. Yes, they did not have certain things, but they had a certain understanding about things that Elohim enabled them to understand. But we think, because we're being told, oh, these were all pagans. No. These things, a lot of them learned it by the very logos of Elohim. Elohim enabled them to know these things. And they knew how to love. You're taught by Elohim to love. And many of those philosophers, despite their weaknesses, because they were not the priest of Elohim, they were not perfect, but they taught about love and kindness and all such things, and one Elohim in the midst of their entire nations who were idol worshippers, pantheon of deities, you would see a few of them in their importunity, in their lack of resources, knowing to proclaim one Elohim, and that we should be kind and love, and in so many ways they express these things so wonderfully. It's obviously that Elohim taught them, even as it is exemplified by these at Malta, and as expressed by Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. We need to observe the operation of his hands. That's what much of the Jews did not do. They were reading the text, but not looking at how Elohim is manifesting what he is actually doing in the nature that he creates, the pure nature that that shows his handiwork. The heavens and all about. As we read in, as two of our members read today in Psalms 19. Oh, let us look at the operation of hands. So yes, Elohim taught them how to love one another. The native expressed their love to Paul and companions, providing a fire to warm them and to receive them all. All 276 people, strangers, think about that. Let that sink into your mind. What would you do if you saw a crowd of 276 people you've never seen before? They're coming all wet out of the water. What would your reaction be? Some of them have swords. Remember, soldiers there. What would you reach out to them as such? Or would you be so doubtful and fearful that you wouldn't know what to do? Ah, that's what we have to take time to make sense of the reality of the situation, to see the magnitude of love that these people had. Let's keep reading. And we saw how even the magistrate, the leader of the people, gave them 200 some people a place to stay for 3 full days and tended to their needs courteously. Think about that. Think about that. Total strangers. Verse 3. Thirdly, let's move on. So Paul healed Publius's father. We know that his father got sick and Paul healed him. And when they heard that, they'd never seen that before. Wow, people are being healed. Many others came. And what did Paul do? I'm tired. No, Paul healed them all who came to him. That's the gift of the Spirit. See, that's, and let me explain. This is an example of the gift of healing. You know, Elohim has used me to heal miraculously before, but that's not a gift. That's just answer to prayer. I've laid hands on the sick and they were healed. I will not deny these things. I want you to know that I've done these things. This is why I know who I am, who it is I believe. And I said this before. If you read my paper, why I am believing, I'm believing because of the miracles in my life. I've laid hands on people and healed them. And I'm saying instantly. I'm not saying like, you know, later on 2 days. No, instantly. I've done that. I've done that for my own daughter with her adenoids. I've done that for a coworker at work. She told me she had a migraine headache all day. She told me, please pray for me because she saw my manner of life. I put my hand on her. She was instantly, she said the migraine was gone. And my own self, like I have headaches, stomach aches, whatever it may be. I had a swollen, femur. My thigh bone was swollen. I didn't take a pill I just prayed. It was healed my femur was healed in a matter of days. My headaches go almost instantly when I have in my stomach. All these things, you know, Elohim has helped me to raise a person that was in a coma in a hospital through tears and almost hyperventilating. I felt I couldn't breathe. I prayed for this person. The person rose from the coma before I could even finish praying. I'm not boasting, that far from it, but I'm saying these are answered prayers, not a gift. Paul had the gift. See, Paul, over and over and over, without fail, could heal. I've prayed for people, now I've told you my success, but I've prayed for people other than they were not healed. It could have been something because of me, or because of the person, I don't know, but there were many times I've prayed for people, and they were not healed. So that's why I know I don't have the gift of healing, but there are times Elohim had answered my prayer. And they were all really miraculous, never needing a pill, never needed medical intervention, no such thing. So, but you see here, Paul healed all of them. That's the gift. Paul could prophesy and say, all will be well in the middle of a disastrous situation. That's the gift of prophecy. See, the gifts of Elohim are how it says are without limit. In other words, it that's how you know it's a gift, because the person could do it over and over and over constantly, reliably. Okay, so let's move on. So he healed them, as we see in verses 7 and 9. And this is an example of Romans 15, verse 27, which is what? It says there, for if the nations have been made partakers of their, that is the saints' spiritual things, their duty, that is the nation's duty, is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Okay, as you see there, the Paul imparted a spiritual gift. And imparting a spiritual is not mere words. Oh, I'm going to go preach today. I'm going to charge the people $25,000 for my visit because I'm going to preach to them. That's my spiritual that's my spiritual gift to them. That's nonsense. Preaching the word is not a spiritual gift. That's just preaching. A spiritual gift are such things as you see the apostles and the prophets have done, that by the spirit of Elohim, they cause a blessing for someone. A blessing that has instantly turned a situation for someone or in time. That is a spiritual blessing. But if a person's going around preaching, preaching a prosperity gospel or feel good message, and the auditoriums are full and people are clapping and helping and they're passing the baskets and they're collecting money for this person, this is not right. Okay? The spiritual gift is when the Spirit works in you to heal, to prophesy, or to do something that will definitely benefit a person or persons, especially the body of Messiah. That's the spiritual gift, and it's very clear throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. So the saints provide spiritual blessings, healings, miracles, those type of things, prophecies to help the people, as we saw Paul there. You know, that's how the prophet having the prophetic word for us is an example. It's not, you know, I heard this lie. Oh, if there's prophecy, it has to be written in scripture. That's not true. That's false. Elohim gives there are occurrences of situations where prophecies are made, and the prophecy is not even stated in the scripture, but the prophecy benefited the people. Prophecy concerning a coming famine or coming disaster or whatever. We could have prophecy in our own lives if we walk circumspectly with Elohim. Elohim can give us messages to help each other, to help the body of Messiah. Elohim could elevate us in the sight of the world if we will open our hearts and not be unbelieving because we're praying, and he tells us, he gives us prophecy that we could boldly put on Facebook everywhere way before it happens. And then it happens. What do you think the world will think of us then? The world will look at us and honor us and give glory to Elohim. That's what's supposed to happen. That's what the congregation of Elohim is here for. Okay? That's what we're here for, to bring glory to Elohim, to walk circumspectly, to have these gifts. So, let's move on. And our Messiah said, the workman is worthy of his hire. Eat what is given to you. Heal the sick. Heal the sick there. And tell them the kingdom of Elohim is come near to you. Luke 2, Luke 10, chapter 7, verse 9. These are the works of the Spirit. These are the gifts of the Spirit shared with people. Remember the gifts, what the gifts of the Spirit are? Healing, prophecies, and so on. Those are the spiritual gifts. We have them, but we share them with others according to the will of Elohim. This is the genuine laborer who is worthy to receive. The ones who can heal and proclaim the kingdom government of Elohim has come near to you. We must be able to say that. How? By demonstration. We allege it. We say it. We demonstrate it. How? By the power of the Spirit working. Then, wow, how did this happen? What's going on here? Look at that. Look, I can't believe it. I was just sick. I'm healed. Or he told me exactly what I needed to do and it worked, whatever. That's the work of the congregation of Elohim, brethren. That's what it means to say the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. It's not just some saying. It's actually saying, look, brother, the kingdom of Elohim just visited you. Why? Because the power of Elohim has worked through you to demonstrate that. That's why we need, that's the important things, brethren. These are the important things. You know, let's not be caught up in all this nonsense going on, all these false groups arguing over words, how words are said, and all this nonsense. Let's learn to know Elohim and His Son, for this is eternal life. And to be His examples on this earth. That the kingdom of heaven is come near to you. No one else is worthy of this type of exchange. To give of the spiritual gift and to receive of the carnal gifts from the recipient of the spiritual gift. That's what we saw here. This exchange. Paul provided the spiritual gifts and we see them giving them everything. Paul and all empowered servants were and are worthy, respectively. So being made worthy by the Spirit of Elohim in Yeshua Messiah's name, they received many honors and all they needed, as we saw in verse 10. They were not just going in fancy suits and limousines and planes, just spreading feel-good messages and lies and confusion. And people are just clapping and giving away their money for nothing. No, they did a true work by the Spirit. Let's move on to another point. 4. After 3 months at Malta, they left by ship for Rome. They were finally on their way to Rome. The destination was clear. They stopped at Syracuse for 3 days, as seen in verses 11 and 12. They went to Rhegium, then to Puteoli, and spent 7 days with brethren at Puteoli, as seen in verse 13 and 14. 7 days. Who knows? We know before, when during the shipwreck, just before that was the Day of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, and he was fasting. But this is several days later. I didn't catch how many, but this could be in the spring. And because they wanted them to spend a specific amount of days. Notice 7 days. Specific. Let's see. In verse 13 it says, verse 14, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And after that they went towards them. So this could have been Passover season. See, there's a reason it's 7 days. These are not people in Jerusalem. These are people in foreign nations, okay, that are believers. Remember, brethren they found. And they asked them, stay with us 7 days. So that's an example of the people, no matter where you are, keeping Elohim's holy day. We saw the other brethren with Paul in the ship during the storm. They were fasting even beyond the Day of Atonement. Paul had to say, look, the fast is already passed. Look, eat, be encouraged. And then they did suit too. They followed suit. So here the brethren were with them. Be encouraged. Let's keep the holy days, brethren. It is the norm. Don't listen to those who will say otherwise. So they met the brethren. And I ask you, do you see the work of Elohim in Messiah? All 275 people were now believers with Paul. And agreed to stay with the brethren. Notice, remember, there were soldiers there. guards. None of them said, Paul, we're supposed to be going to Rome. We're not doing this 7-day stuff. Why did the Romans, why did the guards and everyone comply with this? It is because they were given to Paul. They were now believers, all 275, including Paul makes 276. Wow, that's amazing what Elohim can do. So when other brethren heard of their arrival, they came to meet Paul and those with him. All of this moved Paul to thank Elohim and take courage. He went to a place, and what did he find? A lodge. He found a place with rooms suitable for all of them. This is Elohim's work. This is how Elohim treats his servant. Even one as Paul, who had his servants murdered, persecuted. Look how merciful he is to Paul. He knows how to be merciful. That's why we need to cry out for mercy. Cry out for mercy. Cry out for mercy when we see that our lives are so plagued. It doesn't have to be. It's a lie of the devil to say, well, you know, since my life used to be great, but since I became a believer, I have enemies everywhere. I am miserable. I am this. Ooh, I must be saved. Woo, woo. No, that's not true. If that's happening, that's a sign that there's a problem with the relationship with Elohim. Because Elohim shows us all throughout the scriptures that his servants are honored. He gives them honor. Yes, their suffering does come, but it doesn't last forever. It shouldn't be the norm. Okay? So that's why we need to cry out for mercy. Mercy, Father, give us mercy and walk circumspect, repent and be merciful. And be humble. And cry out for mercy, and he will give mercy. He is close to them who have a broken and a contrite heart. So when other brethren heard of their arrival, they came to meet Paul and those with him. All this moved Paul to thank Elohim and take courage, as it says in verse 15. We're coming to a close. 5, and then the conclusion. So Elohim blessed Paul and gave him favor on his way to Rome and in Rome. When he reached Rome in verse 16, we see he was permitted to dwell by himself, as we read. In verse 17 to 23, we read he had freedom to call and have meetings with Jewish leaders. What, did he have a telephone, an internet, an email? No. That means he was able to have that liberty to create that connection and get all the Jewish leaders in Rome to come and confer with him, to speak, to hold audience with them. He had the liberty and freedom to, he was able to explain and testify what? The kingdom of Elohim, the government of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the Jews. Because they did not believe in the kingdom of Elohim or not recognize that it was come. And persuaded them of Yeshua Messiah, both what? From what? Out of the law of Moses and the prophets. He had that freedom, according to verses 17 and 23 of chapter 28. And what happened? As always, some believed and some did not. They departed reasoning. That is, the Jews who came to him departed reasoning among themselves about what Paul had said. They left when Paul quoted Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 through 10, as we read. I'm not going to go there, but about they've grown dull in their hearing lest they repent and they should receive salvation. But then Paul told them that the salvation of Elohim is sent to the nations and they will hear it. This is in verse 24 and 29. And this accords with part of what our brother read today in Malachi. Malachi. And let's see if Paul was correct. What does Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 and 14 says? Malachi chapter 1, verses 11 and 14, sorry. Malachi chapter 1, verses 11 says, "For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down." Notice the order. It's not from the evening to, you know, all of that stuff. No, it's from the rising of the sun, even to its going down. "My name shall be great among the nations. in every place. In every place, not just in Jerusalem. No. In every place. He's talking about the nations. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name. And a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations. Says who? Says Paul? Says the Eternal of Hosts. You remember what Yeshua says? I tell you the truth. You have to worship here in the mountain or in Jerusalem, but I tell you the time is coming where it would not be so, for Elohim seeks people to worship Him spirit and truth. I'm paraphrasing what Yeshua said. This is what is talking about here. We have to know the scriptures and put them in context and not let our own desires blind our eyes. If we love anything in the flesh, it will blind our eyes. If we're putting up a nation above another nation, it will blind our eyes. If we're putting physical inheritance, physical bloodline above what is spiritual, it will blind our eyes and understanding. Okay? What Yeshua told the Samaritan woman and what Paul said was true and understood by the prophets. Malachi said, "My name shall be great among the nations. An incense shall be offered to my name in every place among the Gentiles." What do you see today? How has that come to happen? It's by the work of those who believe in Yeshua that has happened. By no other work. It is by the work of the congregation of Elohim that the name of Elohim has spread throughout all the world. That the world knows how so much to love, love and do justice and seek after mercy and all such things. And of course, Elohim teaches them Himself even before the congregation even approaches them. Verse 14 says, "But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and makes a vow, but sacrifices to the sovereign what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Eternal of the Host, and my name is to be feared among the nations." So when Paul says here to them, in that portion from verse 24 to 29, he says, "Elohim is sent to the salvation of Elohim is sent to the nations. They will hear it, believe it, because it is written, so it is written in the law and the prophets." So from that event in Rome, Paul lived two full years in his own rented house and received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of Elohim and teaching everything about Yeshua Messiah. In hiding? In fear? No, in all confidence, no one forbidding him, as verse 30 to 31 says. Ends with that account of Paul. So quick conclusion to end. 4 points. We learn that the congregation of Elohim must believe Elohim and trust and wait on Him to reveal to us what we need to know, as seen in verse 1. Paul was blessed by Elohim to meet foreigners who were taught by Elohim to love, as we saw in verses 2 and 7. We saw Paul's example of imparting spiritual gifts. In this case, healing of the sick and receiving carnal things as needed, as we saw in verse 8 and 10. We saw he was a laborer worthy of his hire as taught by Yeshua Messiah. We saw how Elohim blessed Paul in Rome with favor, freedom, and the means to have his own rented house, and liberty to receive all that would come to him. He had the freedom to share the kingdom of Elohim and Yeshua, the Messiah, the King and Savior, as we saw throughout verse 11 through 31. So that's the end, brethren, of the book of Acts, of chapter 28. There's much more. If we would review this, we would see much more other things. But this is what we've seen over these years of going through the book of Acts together, and this has concluded it. I hope that, you know, you will, those of you who have not, you will review the others, and that's it, brethren. That's it. May he guide us into the next, whatever else he would want us to cover together as his pure congregation of Elohim, pure, not by our own righteousness, but by his righteousness. For he is a great king, and his name shall indeed be praised among all the nations. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen.